Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My pleasure to be part of your day. And I know it's like a dream come true for you, especially on the days that Chuck Martin joins us. And he's with us right now. I know you're going to be happy about that. Chuck is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a book that we've told you about in the past and have covered quite a bit, Tough Management, as well as another one called Coffee at Luna's, and his brand new book, which he co-authored with Peg Dawson and Mitch and Richard Guare, is called Smarts. Are We Hardwired for Success? It's brand spanking new, ladies and gentlemen. We're launching it on this show today, and I'm glad to have Chuck back with us. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Always glad to be here. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you very much.
You know, one of the things that I remember and when I was very young, when I was about 18 years old, I officially entered the marketplace I officially entered the marketplace when I was about 17 years old. You know, I had my first W-2 job, so to speak, and I started paying attention to adults a little bit more, because I was working with them. And then over the next 5 or 6 years, I remember noticing something. I remember being around people, working with them, and these were people, some of them were people who were like 40 or 50 years old, and based on the conversations I had with them and based on what I observed them doing, I could tell that at 45, they were making the same mistakes that they made when they were 25.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, why would you do that? Why would you not say, hey, I don't think I want that knot on my head anymore. I think I'll stop this. Why is that?
Well, we found the book is all about cognitive function and how people basically make decisions and process information. In the frontal lobes of the brain, which is the part of your brain right behind your forehead, the frontal lobes manage all of the intelligence of the left and the right brain. So everything goes through the frontal lobes.
So that's the motherboard.
That's right. Everyone in the frontal lobes have these, they're called executive skills, which is a stupid name, but it's the official clinical psychology name. It's not skills of executives. They call them executive skills because it's how people execute.
Right.
So at least you know how psychologists think.
Right.
I wish they'd call them something else, but they're called executive skills. And anyway, everyone has 12 of these specific skills in their frontal lobes, and these are things like focus, task initiation, self-restraint, stress tolerance, time management, organization, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
In these 12 specific skills, every single person has two or three that are their strongest, two or three that are their weakest, and they're not dramatically changeable for life. So if your weakest skill, for example, is time management, you can go to 10 time management courses, and when you come back and measure yourself, your weakest skill will still be time management.
Hmm.
And they're not really changeable from adulthood. But once you recognize them, what we're recommending is people need to get into positions that play to their strengths and identify what their weaknesses are so they can basically mitigate the weaknesses so that the weaknesses don't really get them.
Well, see, this is groundbreaking news for everybody, but especially, in my opinion, Chuck, for small business owners, because, as you know, something I've been saying, I've said 1,000 times in the last 9-plus years, small business owners have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. If we're putting these hats, if we have choices of who to put these hats on and we're putting them on the wrong heads, then we're doomed. We could be doomed to I don't want to say failure because that sounds so final, but we're doomed to not accomplishing what we could have if we'd known some of the things you talk about in the book.
That's exactly right. In small businesses, it's actually easier to sort of orchestrate and manage this, because in big companies everything is sort of all over the place and you don't have necessarily as much interaction with as many people who are the same people. But
right.
I'll give you an example. sales versus sales management. Everyone knows a spectacular salesperson who got promoted into management, and it was a dismal failure.
Exactly. That is classic.
It's very classic. Well, it turns out that in sales, you're basically you need flexibility so that you can, when you're dealing with the client, you can sort of, you know, go with the flow. Emotion control, so when the client says something, you don't get upset. In defining and achieving goals, which is that's the ability to set a goal, follow through despite competing interests, so you sort of can get to the end. In sales management, it's different. You need to be able to accurately estimate sales forecasts. Think strategically about
right.
how to improve the sales staff. So you need those. The skills there are organization, observation, which is really the ability to sort of step back and take a bird's eye view of yourself in a situation, make changes.
Chuck, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you finish that thought in a minute. And also, folks, I'm going to ask Chuck, how do we find out for ourselves, for the owners, what are our strengths and weaknesses, and how do we hire and delegate to those strengths and weaknesses? Tony Taylor, stay with us.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Chuck Martin. He's the co-author of Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? Brand spanking new book out right now. It's available, Chuck, wherever books are sold, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So check it out. Chuck Martin is the name on the book, along with his co-authors, Peg Dawson and Richard Guare. You know, Chuck, one of the things that my audience knows that I've been talking about a lot, well, I do it all the time, but I've really been talking about it lately a lot. I'm going to talk about it this week more. And that is some of the things that small business owners can do to cause their company to launch, to literally leave the ground, by doing nothing more than just becoming smarter and understanding the human potential and the human weaknesses, the strengths and the weaknesses that you talk about in your book. One of the main topics of your book is understanding the strengths and weaknesses and how to manage those. If we can do that with virtually no money at all, no capital at all, we can start growing the business. We can start getting more sales, making more profits, making people happier, making people feel better about themselves. And it's all about just understanding more about the human beings, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. And that's what this book actually does, because it doesn't really cost any money to get someone in a position to play to their strength. What happens is when someone is in a position that in the book we have several questionnaires which let you define, the first thing is it defines what your strengths and weaknesses are, which takes 7 minutes. Then there's another questionnaire that lets you define what strengths are required for a specific job. Then you match someone. And then there's another questionnaire so you can evaluate someone else's strengths and weaknesses. And then there's another one that you evaluate what it is your business values most, which strengths. Because this shows why it explains why someone could be in a position that is the right job for them. It plays to their strengths, but it does not play to what the company values.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains why they never get promoted. Because they're doing a good job, but it's not what's valued by the company. If the company is sort of a sales machine, they really value sales and numbers, and you're in a position that doesn't play to that, then you may be overlooked, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the owner, especially in a small business, people tend to hire people because they're attracted to people who have the same executive skill strengths that they do.
Big mistake.
The absolute wrong thing to do.
Big mistake.
Oh, huge mistake. What they should be doing is, and we have a questionnaire in the book for this too, is looking at what skills does this job require. Then there are questions that you went during the interview, there are probing questions that we have listed, you just ask to see if they actually have those as strengths. And what happens is when people get into a position that play to their weakness, it's called what's called an effortful task. So they can do the job, but it's really, really hard. It's harder than if it plays to the strengths. When a position plays to someone's executive skill strength, they actually find the job more pleasant. It's easier because it's less. It takes less horsepower of their brain, essentially.
Right.
And this is just how the brain fires. It has nothing to do with their bodies or anything.
And the thing is anybody listening can hear what you're saying, and it's got to make sense. Because how many times are there things that let's say that we do around the house, let's say, that we share with our families, our spouses, let's say, and there's something that the other person can't, they just don't like doing at all, and we don't mind it at all. And vice versa.
Those are things that
all you're doing is you're taking, you know, that understanding and explaining it on a workplace basis.
Yes, that's what we did. We took this is very well known in clinical psychology circles. I mean, this is based on 40 years of neuroscience brain research. It's not a theory. It's very well documented and researched by psychologists. No one has ever taken this knowledge into the business environment. That's what we really did. We essentially packaged all this clinical stuff that everyone knows about in psychology and said, okay, how does this play in the work environment? And the reality is your executive skills, and we surveyed this worldwide, that your executive skills at home and at work are the same. They're not different. Your brain is your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if your spouse has the exact opposite executive skills of you, which might be a case, because it could be that you complement each other, you could have a spouse saying, how can you always be late for things? And you might be, if she's high in time management and you're low in time management, your view is, well, it's only 15 minutes. What's the big deal? Your brain actually has a different view of time.
Right.
It actually runs like that.
Which is the reason why you have, when you have trouble motivating an employee, you don't understand why they're not motivated. Why can't you light a fire under these people? It's because they're not really capable of, they resist the fire, don't they?
That is dead on. That is exactly correct. Where you send an employee to courses and classes to learn to basically task initiation to get started. Well, if that's their low skill, you can't fix it. It will be. We interviewed people who spent, one person we interviewed, a CEO, spent $20,000 in 6 months trying to train someone because they had a lack of communication. Well, it wasn't really a lack of communication. They were low in two specific executive skills, flexibility. And if you're low in flexibility, someone you can't not have a decision in your brain because you can't. You have to be much more organized and tighter than that.
Right.
So when there's something that's in the state of flux, you don't know it, but your brain makes the decision for you. So when someone's giving you input, you're not really hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain has made the decisions, which allows you to move on through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck, when you're under pressure, your weakest skills fail first.
Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. It's 10 till. By the way, Chuck, if I want to get major points with my wife, all I have to do is unload the dishwasher. She hates that.
But I don't mind it.
I actually don't mind unloading the dishwasher. See, so I can do that one thing, and I get points for like days.
I'll give you some more tips on that.
Don't tell her though. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sight cannot be denied.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog as well while you're there. Chuck Martin is on our website. He's been with us many times before, and all of the past interviews are there as archives. You can go back and listen to all the smart things Chuck has said, including this interview. You can go back and listen to his wisdom over and over again. Chuck, how about your own website, please?
NFI, like Net Future Institute, NFIResearch.com.
NFIResearch.com, and can they find the book there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there, Amazon. Hey, we've got 10 five-star reviews at Amazon on the book.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You never know what's going to happen when you put on
a book. Chuck, it's what I've been saying now for over 9 years. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. Congratulations. I'm not the least bit surprised.
Well, thank you.
The book is called Smarts, ladies and gentlemen. Are we hardwired for success? So here's the question, Chuck. Are we hardwired for success?
Pretty much, sorry to say, but it's actually once you realize that it's sort of okay. I was a little reluctant. I've been working on this book for more than a year, and when I first came across this whole thing of executive skills and cognitive function and executive function, I thought, I'm not sure that's really true stuff. But the instrument has been tested now for several years in the marketplace. And it is true. With every single person we've had do the questionnaire, they say, and it defines your strengths and weaknesses, they said, that's me. That's exactly me.
Mm-hmm.
Without exception, across the board.
So do you think people who aren't successful haven't found out how to play to their strengths and avoid their weaknesses?
That is very typical. We do have sort of profiles in the book of what kinds of jobs would be logical for you based on what your skills are. And so, for example, if you're going to be involved in creativity and new ideas, your high skills should be flexibility and observation.
Mm-hmm.
If your high skills are, say, time management and something else, then you're really not going to be the person to take the brainstorming session. I mean, you might keep the session running on time,
right,
but you're not going to be the one who comes up with the ideas.
You keep the clock and don't say anything.
Yeah, and typically a business leader, like the CEO of a small business, would be high in the executive skill of observation. That allows someone to sort of step back and look at yourself, see how can you make changes to fix things, and you keep looking back and say, how can we do this better in the future? If you're low in that skill, you would tend to make the same mistake over and over and over again.
Well, you know, Chuck,
you don't stop and look at why.
Small business owners are, I mean, I'm a small business owner. You're a small business owner. You and I are sitting at in our offices, in our businesses, and we're working one day. It's a classic, typical day in our lives. We have 8 or 10 different major areas of execution that we have to deal with. And how many times do we sit there and say, you know what? I really like doing this, and I really like doing that. And I really like doing that. I wish all I had to do were those three things, and somebody else would come and get these other five and do them for me. How many times? I say that every day. I wish I could spend more time on this because I'm really good at it. I'm as good as anybody can be. I can turn the work out fast. I like what I'm doing here. This is good stuff. This other stuff, not so much.
Well, we actually have defined, if you're working alone, a lot like a home office, the high executive skill should be task initiation, focus, and time management. Otherwise, you can end up drifting through the day without getting much accomplished. So
yep.
if you do this questionnaire and you find out those are your three weaknesses, then you definitely, definitely should not be working alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll spend time working alone. You'll be spending twice the time because you can't really, your brain is not wired to get stuff done. You want to mm-hmm. get into a situation that is a little more structured. Of an office.
Have you met anyone who was, is anybody high? Is it even possible to be high in all 12?
No.
What's the highest anybody could expect?
Well, I'll tell you why. Typically, if you're high, there are typical opposites in executive skills. For example, if you're high in flexibility, you typically would be low in time management.
Right.
And if you're high in time management, you typically would be low in flexibility. That's just the way it is,
mm-hmm.
and every person is only compared to themselves. The questionnaire is for an individual, so you can't compare two people to each other. You can just look at their strengths versus weaknesses,
right?
In terms of scores, there are solutions though to mitigate your weaknesses. For example, if you're
quickly, Chuck, 10 seconds.
Okay, if your weakness is time management, but if you have to get one meeting on time, you can plot all the stops to make that one meeting on time. Then your boss doesn't see time management as an issue.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chuck, thanks for being here. The book is called Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? Chuck Martin is the co-author. Chuck, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. We got more to talk about. We'll get you back another day. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.